Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Today's episode is episode 31, and we're going to talk about a subject that's kind of dear to me, which is firearms. A firearm can be a very important tool. It can keep you safe, and it can get you food, and heck, it can just be fun to go out and shoot sometimes. So today we're going to go over some basics of owning a firearm. First, let's go over some fundamental rules of owning a firearm. First rule is always keep a gun pointed in a safe direction. It's a primary rule of gun safety. Safe direction means where the gun is pointed, so even if it were to go off, it would not cause injury or damage. The key to the rule is to control where the muzzle or the front end of the gun is pointed at all times. Common sense dictates the safest direction depending on the circumstances. The second rule is always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. When holding a gun, rest your finger on the trigger guard or alongside the gun until you are ready to fire. Do not touch the trigger. And rule number three is always keep the gun unloaded until you're ready to use. Whenever you pick up a gun, immediately engage the safety device if possible, and if the gun has a magazine, remove it before opening the action and looking into the chamber, which should be clear of ammunition. If you do not know how to open the action or inspect the chamber, leave the gun alone and get help from someone else. Keeping these three basic safety rules in mind will go a long way. Usually when someone hands me a gun, the first thing I do is open the action and see if it's loaded or not. Never ever take someone's word for it. They can make a mistake, and it could be a deadly one. Now with that being said, this is kind of one of them do-it-your-own-risk kind of podcasts, because I can't be liable for anybody following any of the information I give here and either hurting themselves or making a bad decision and buying a gun or something like that. So that's my disclaimer. Use this information at your own risk. So the first part of our show today is going to be how to inspect the firearm. The first thing you want to do is, if it's a bolt-action rifle, remove the bolt, which gives you a way to check out the bore. You want to make sure that it's bright and shiny and that the rifling looks like it's got nice clean edges. A lot of older rifles and then the military surplus rifles use corrosive priming, which washes out the rifling out of the bore, and it'll look like it's very wore, and that's a rifle that you might not want, unless its price is right, because you can take a rifle in and they can bore out the rifling and then they can epoxy a new piece into the barrel with new rifling, so maybe you do want it if it's cheap or free or something like that. When it's free, you can stand to put a little bit of money into a gun. The next thing to do is look for excessive wear on any of the parts of the gun. If you look at the action and there's all kinds of wear on the bolt and stuff, that means the person didn't take very good care of it by lubricating it, and that could cause you problems down the road. Another thing to look for when you're looking a gun over is to see if the screw heads are all messed up by someone trying to use the wrong size screwdrivers on them. Usually that indicates someone taking a gun apart that really doesn't know a whole lot about it and maybe doesn't have the proper tools. So if you find a gun like that, you should insist that it gets fired before you even buy it, because you never know, the parts might be missing, the gun might not even work. Usually when a gunsmith takes apart a gun, they take it apart with a set of screwdrivers that are specially made for gunsmithing so they don't leave marks and stuff on there, but if they do mess up a screw, usually they change it. So that's how you can tell if someone's been inside the gun messing around with stuff. Another thing you want to look for is to make sure there are no cracks in the stock, or if the stock's been repaired in any way or anything like that. You want to make sure that the stock is in good structural condition. You don't want to be shooting it and have the stock crack, because a catastrophic failure like that could cause the pieces of the stock to go in your eye, or it could cause you to get hit in the shoulder and maybe cut or something like that. You know, it's very dangerous for a gun with a cracked stock. And again, it is fixable if you do get the gun cheap enough, so you could take it to a gunsmith and have them restock the gun, or you could have them fix it. I think my dad had one of his old shotguns fixed by a gunsmith, and it came out pretty nice. Another part of the stock to look at is to see if there's a bunch of dings and dents and scratches that could indicate that the person really didn't take care when they were using the gun and it got thrown around a lot or rode behind the seat of a truck. And again, you know, it's just kind of cosmetic things, but it tells you a lot about how the gun was treated during its life with the owner it has. Also, when looking at the stock and it looks like it's in really good shape, move it around in the light and look at it and see if there are any runs that you could see or any sags in the clear, because that would probably indicate that someone took it apart and sanded the stock down and then put it all back together. And not necessarily is it a bad thing, it's just something to be aware of. I recently bought a 3030 that was in really good shape, and when I did that, I saw that there were a few runs in it, but overall, the guy did a really good job, so I didn't really let it affect how much I offered the guy for the gun. Another thing to look at is if there's excessive bluing missing, which might mean it rode around behind the seat of a car with in just a case, or if the bluing's just wore off and maybe someone tried to repair it and it kind of could look shoddy. I mean, it's not really a big deal because you could take it somewhere and have them strip the bluing off and have them put new bluing on the gun. It's all relative, I guess, on depending how much you would like to spend on a firearm. And it also depends on how much the firearm means to you. Was it your great-grandfather's or your grandfather's? You might want to actually stick some money into a gun like that. Another thing to check for is to make sure that the open sights or the scope are nice and tight. If they're loose, that could indicate that there's a fit problem or maybe a strip screw or something like that. It's always stuff that you can fix, but it's just how much money you want to spend when you fix it is the thing. And if your sights are loose, your gun won't shoot accurately. I bought a gun from Walmart one time. It came with the scope on it, and I was pretty young when I bought it. And the scope was all on it, so I just sighted it in, and I took it out, and I went deer hunting. Well, I shot at a deer, and I completely missed. And I was like, man, what's the deal? I already sighted this in. This thing shoots perfect. And then I happened to touch the scope, and I noticed how it moved. It moved about 3 feet. It was just barely loose, but when you were looking through it, the crosshairs moved like 3 feet, and that's why I completely missed the deer. So that's just something to take into consideration. Also, open sights can come loose, but they can be tightened up by a gunsmith, or if you're competent, you could do it. And another thing is to make sure that the action fits good into the stock. If someone was sitting there messing around with the stock and put a heavy barrel in it or something, and they carved out some of the stock, the action might fit loosely in the stock. You want a nice, good, tight fit. So that's about all I have for tips on how to check out a gun when you're buying it. If you have any questions, take it to a certified gunsmith and have them check it out. If the person's really serious about selling you the gun, they won't mind if you take it to a third party and have it checked out. It's just like buying a car. And if it's someone you don't know and they get mad about you taking it to a gunsmith, that might mean that they're actually trying to hide something. But if it's one of your friends, you know, he'll understand. I mean, why mess up a friendship over something as meaningless as that? When you're telling your friend or anybody you want to get it checked out, just tell them, hey, look, I don't really know a whole lot about guns. I just want to get it checked out by a professional, make sure it's in good working order, and then we'll talk about the price. And they won't get mad. If they do, they don't want to sell it that badly. And I'd also like to say again, use this information at your own risk. Don't go out buying a 150-year-old gun and using what I put here to buy it and then going out to the range and firing it, because you might put the wrong ammo in it and it might blow up in your face. I don't want to be responsible for something like that. If you're buying a really old gun, it might need reduced loads. And there are a lot of guns out there today that have been around since the turn of the century. I have a couple myself. I have a 7mm Mauser, and actually the modern ammo is above the exceeded action pressures if you look at the reloading specs. Now, I'm sure them guns will fire regular ammo just fine because they're pretty heavy-duty action, but that's something that you should discuss with a gunsmith because he might advise you to get reduced loads. But just be aware what you're buying and you'll do fine. So now let's say you've bought your rifle. Now the next thing is how to sight in your rifle. If you buy it from someone that you know and maybe you've shot the gun before, you don't need to do this step at all, but I personally don't really trust anybody else to sight in a rifle for me. I go out and do it myself. And also, you have to re-sight a rifle in when you change the scopes or if you take the scope off and even put it back on. So it's good general knowledge to have on how to sight in a rifle. The first thing you need to do when you go sight in a rifle is to go buy some ammunition. Now, when you're buying ammunition and say you want to shoot your rifle a lot, pick up 3 boxes, 4 boxes, but when you look, kind of look at them and see if they're in the same lot. Usually if they're on the shelf together, they're probably out of the same case of ammunition from the that the store puts on the shelf. It just increases your chances of accuracy, and it's a good overall practice. If you buy like 3 boxes of shells just for hunting whitetails, they'll last you for years. I worked with a guy that got a new gun, and he had a bunch of old rifle shells laying around, and he just threw them in a bag, and he took them to the range. He didn't even know what grains they were, what brand they were. He was just sticking them in his gun and shooting them, and, yep, close enough. He says, as long as it holds in a pie plate, that's close enough for me. But it's like, holy cow, man, your gun should be shooting a lot better than that. Well, come to find out, he had Remington, Winchester, and all other kinds of brands of shells mixed together, and he had good grade shells mixed with just the regular cheap grade, and he was all over the target. But I guess if that's the way you want to sight your gun in, that's the way you do. That's not for me, but it worked for him, I guess. But anyway, now the first way you can sight in your rifle is to bore sight it. You can actually take it somewhere like Gander Mountain or Cabela's or any regular old sporting goods store, and they should have a bore sighter, and they'll bore sight the gun in for you. I don't know what they even charge. I've never had it done, but I think it's like $20, $30. And it'll get you on the paper, and it'll actually probably be pretty close, where you just have to do a little fine-tuning on your scope. But you can also buy a home bore sighting kit, and you stick the thing in the barrel, and you put it on the target, and it shoots a laser light out. And them are supposed to be pretty good, but I've never actually used one, so I couldn't actually say if they're good or not. So if you like doing things yourself and you shoot a lot, getting a bore sighter might be good for you. For me, I'm kind of cheap, and I've been doing it the way that people have been doing it for a long time. So let's get into how to sight in a rifle without a bore sighter. First thing you want to do is set your target up at 25 yards. Then you want to find yourself a very good rest. You want to use like a sandbag, or I've used bags full of corn, and you can either set it like on the hood of your truck, or maybe on the back of the box, or if you have built your own shooting bench, you could just use that. A friend and I set up a nice shooting range out at my parents' place, so I don't really have to worry about it no more. He built a really nice shooting bench, so I got a nice place to sit and shoot now. You can also go to the store and buy yourself a shooting rest to shoot off of. They're usually, I don't know, I think the cheapest ones are $30, and they can go all the way up to $100, $150 for a nice shooting bench. And basically, you just clamp your rifle into it, and it holds your rifle nice and steady so that you can get the most accurate shot. I actually don't even have one of them, but I do borrow it from my friend that built the range every once in a while when I want to get a gun good and sighted in. But just to re-sight a gun in, I just use a bag of corn or sand. Now the next step after you took all of that is to get your gun in the sandbag or in the shooting bench, get it all lined up, put the crosshairs on the bullseye, and you take a shot. Then you kind of look and see where it went, and then you can take a couple more shots. I usually take 3 shots, and then I'll find out where it's grouping, and then go from the center of the group. You put your crosshairs on the center of the group, and then you adjust your scope until the crosshairs go back to the center of the target. And then you put 3 more rounds in your gun, and you shoot it again, and see where the group goes. Then if you have a good grouping around the bullseye, you can stop, but if not, basically you just repeat the steps. You put the crosshairs in the center of the group, and then move it back to the middle of the target, and you just keep moving the scope until you get it back to where when you shoot, it shoots right in the dead center of the target. Now each time you do this, get a new target. Targets are cheap, for God's sakes. You can go to the store and buy a package of targets, or you can do like me. I just go on the internet, and you can search for pictures of targets and just use them as targets. I just print out 20 targets with my printer every once in a while, and I got a good supply of targets whenever I want to go. So after you're hitting the center of the target at 25 yards, move your gun back to 50 yards and take 3 shots again and see where everything lands in the target. If everything works out okay, then just leave the gun where it is. And if you're only shooting 50 yards, leave the gun sighted in where it is. It's perfect for what you're going to do. But if it isn't okay, and it's off to the left or right or up or down a little bit, just go back to the first steps and repeat them for 50 yards. Once you have everything sighted in for 50 yards exactly where you want it, then you back up to 100 yards. Now, if you're shooting a fairly decently powered rifle, your target shouldn't have changed much from 50 to 100 yards. And now this is where you can do your fine-tuning if you're shooting even further than that. If you're shooting out at 2, 3, 4, and 500 yards, you might want to set your gun up so it's high at 100 yards. After you get your gun shooting a good group, you might want to just take it, if you're going to say shoot like 300 yards, and adjust it up 4 inches so it's a little bit high at 100. And at 300 yards, you should be pretty close to the center of the bullseye, or maybe you'll be a couple inches lower, but it'll keep you right in the kill zone, depending on what kind of game you're shooting, if you're shooting whitetail or other bigger game like that. But if you're shooting prairie dogs, you might want to have your gun just finely tuned in for however many yards. Now, another thing I almost forgot about scopes, where if you look at your scope, usually somewhere written on the scope will be a measurement, and then they'll say one click is equal to a quarter inch at 100 yards. So that's at 100 yards, when you're adjusting your scope, one click on there is going to be a quarter inch. So if you got to move your gun over an inch, you're going to need 4 clicks. Some rifle scopes only do an eighth inch at 100 yards, and them are usually, I think, higher end scoped and higher powered scopes for like varmint guns and shooting a lot further distances. When you're shooting further distances, you need that adjustment to be more accurate. So now, since we're done with scopes, let's talk a little bit on how to set up iron sights. Now again, we want to start just like we would with a scope, with a very good rest, and set up at 25 yards, and we'll take some shots. And if they're low, you'll want to raise up the rear sight, which will bring the group up a little bit. And then you take a few more shots until you get it centered. And then basically you just repeat the process from 25 to 50 to 100 yards, depending on how far you're shooting. Basically, it's just like doing a rifle scope. Now, if you're shooting your gun and it's shooting to the left or the right, you have to adjust the rear sight, which you can move right or left, depending on where your shots hit. Now, say your gun's shooting a little bit to the left. You'll want to move your back sight a little bit to the left, which will move your sight back towards the right and get you right in the center of the crosshairs. And then the right-hand side's the same way. You just have to adjust your sights back and forth. And a lot of guns have non-adjustable rear sights, so you have to go to a gunsmith and have them adjust either the front sight or remove the sights and then, you know, put adjustable sights on your gun. But almost always you can adjust the rear sight on a gun up or down. Now, there are a few things that I'd like to bring up before I get off the air, and one is a target called the shoot and see target. When you're shooting at 100 yards and you shoot the target, like a yellow or an orange dot appears around where you've shot. And these are a very good target. You can easily see them through your scope, so you don't have to walk back and forth to the target to see where you hit. They're a little bit expensive, but they are a good target and they will help you become a better shooter. The next thing I'd like to talk about is getting yourself a spotting scope. Usually they come in like 60 power. I think you can get stronger ones. But at 100 yards with a 60 power scope, you can see exactly where you hit on the target. So that's another reason you also don't have to walk down to the target to see where you hit. I've seen spotting scopes at a little less than $60. A lot of times you get them on sale, like a Cheaper Than Dirt or Sportsman's Guide. So they're a nice scope to have when you're going target shooting, especially if you plan on doing a lot of target shooting. And another thing I'd like to say is go shoot and shoot often. If you don't shoot, then your skills get rusty and then you're not as good a shot. Shooting is a very perishable skill. If you don't practice, you'll lose it. It's like a lot of other skills. And I have to admit that I haven't been following this rule very closely, but I was paying for regular ammunition and I was shooting good ammo out of my gun, so it was really hard for me to justify spending $50 a box to go and shoot shells. But now that I reload, I'm reloading the same quality of shell for a whole lot less money, so I'm planning on hitting the shooting range this summer and getting some shooting in. But even if you don't take your regular gun, go out there with a 22 and practice with a 22. 22 shells are cheap. I think you could buy a brick of them for $20. That's a lot of shooting. And to go shooting your 22, you don't have to have the world's most expensive gun. I just recently got myself a 10-22, and I've been waiting to get one of them for a long time. But up until then, I had a Marlin Model 60 and a Savage 22, and they shoot really well. Maybe not as good as a perfectly set up target 10-22, but they shoot very well and they're very accurate. And another thing I'd also like to say is take a kid shooting. Get them involved. Get them involved young. You never know when if you get your kid involved young, they might be the Tiger Woods of the shooting world. Maybe they can make a lot of money being a competition shooter. You never do know. When you start a kid out shooting young, they'll have a respect for firearms their whole lives. So that's about all the thoughts I have on shooting a gun. Another thing I'd like to mention is I want anybody that's got a good show topic idea to either leave a comment on my page or go on my Facebook page and leave a comment. That way we can get the shows that you guys really want. And also I'd like to say hi to my good friend RJ, who is really looking forward to this episode. And with that, I'm going to end the show right here. So this is Jeff Radke signing off. And until next time, keep your stick on the ice.